right, here she is, Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas. She's our financial analyst, all brought to you by the Keller Graduate School of Management. Learn loud. Fed Chairperson Janet Yellen spoke earlier this week. Were interest rates going to go up in September? Are they going to go up in December? We don't know for sure. But now a statistic came out this morning that could affect the decision, right?
Well, yes, there was a statistic that came out this morning. It's called the PMI, so the Producers Manufacturing Index. And that's just an indicator, an index on manufacturing activity within the country. So it's used as yet another indicator and statistic to gauge how the economy is doing and how we're doing in our industrial front. And the PMI number was a little softer than people expected. So that then brings into question, how are we doing on this economic recovery? And throughout our recovery, we've had inconsistent data. So it's not unusual that we get a soft number. But people are looking at that and then compounding it with Wednesday, when we heard from Janet Yellen, they opted not to raise rates. They indicated that they think things are better, that a rate increase is looming. So everyone now expects that increase to happen in December, but she didn't increase them. So everyone's kind of stepping back today. The markets are down a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of uncertainty and cautiousness. And I think right now, then, we've got, as usual, not clear, consistent data, a little bit of an uncertain backdrop, and it's going to be more uncertain because now we get the presidential debates.
How much of an impact do you think the debates will have on the markets?
You know, I think the markets are going to have an impact and feel that impact of these debates. Debates are unpredictable, and they matter. So in this case, we have two candidates. Hillary Clinton is a little bit more of a known commodity because she's been an elected appointed official before. And so the market has some familiarity with her. Donald Trump, very much a wild card. We've seen economic plans, generally speaking, from both candidates, more general than not from Donald Trump, whereas Hillary Clinton has a little more substance around hers. It's not clear how they would impact the economy right now because we don't have enough data. It looks like Hillary Clinton's plan would spend, but we'd stay just about the same deficit level, maybe a little bit more. Donald Trump's plan does seem to increase the deficit quite a bit.
Yes, but remember, he is the self-proclaimed king of debt. Explain why it is that government debt is so spooky to the markets.
Well, debt by government is an indication of how strong or how healthy the economy is, the government is, and ultimately the currency, because the U.S. dollar is backstopped by the U.S. government. So you want the government to be healthy, and you think about the government as having a balance sheet, just like a person would. And so if it has a lot of debt, its credit rating isn't as good. Well, we want the credit rating in the U.S. to be high, and it's largely seen as one of the best in the world. And that's because even though we talk about this huge level of debt that we have, we've managed it well based on our GDP levels. So how much income you have, how much manufacturing industrial activity you have versus how much debt you're bringing on. And that ratio is important. So we've been growing our amount of debt, and people care because you don't want to have that get too big. We lose standing in the world, basically. It loses our credibility for both our government, our economy, and our currency.
So is money going to come out of the market here? Are people going to get onto the sidelines in advance of the election because they don't know where it's going to go?
I think people have already come out of the market a little bit or are repositioning in advance of the election. They've seen that coming. I think we've seen that happen since September, really, when people came back from the summer break and have started focusing on this. I think that what we'll see is a bigger shift from day to day as these debates happen, as policy comes out, and people speculate on who might be the elected official, then I think we're going to start to see some bigger shifts and movements between sectors where we see people going to safety, so buying REITs or utilities or healthcare, and then people going to more riskier, as we say, riskier names, which are things like technology and industrials, which need that economy to keep them going. Compounding on all of this is these economic data points that are still going to come out where we're still seeing okay numbers, not great, and this in the back of our minds, awareness that the Fed is going to try to raise rates in December. So that sets up a whole emotional expectation for the market as well.
Right, but we've been talking about this. As you've been pointing out, they're only going to go up 25 basis points or bips. what difference does that really ultimately make? Are we not smoke screening ourselves here by thinking about that and not about the bigger implications of either of these two dopes becoming president of the United States?
Well, yes, I think that actually is a very good point. So the change in interest rates, when it happens, and we haven't just been obsessed with this for the last 3 months. We've really been obsessed with this for the last 3 or 4 years. So this beginning increase of the interest rates, and we're going up from what is effectively 0.25% now to 0.5%. So we're going from 25 bips to 50 bips, is very small, but it signals what the Fed is thinking about the economy. And so the Fed wants to be very supportive of the economy. They're keeping rates low. We actually had a couple of the Fed members dissent on the last meeting, so on Wednesday, and we saw three people, so 3 of 17 came out and said, and really 3 of the 10 voting members came out and said, we're dissenting on this. We think we should raise rates now. And that's actually a large number of dissenters to come out and say, we disagree with the chairman and where the Fed is going. So they're arguing that it's healthier for the economy to actually bump up the rates now. In the long run, rates have to go up. And the bigger spending issue for the next 12 to 24 months is going to be what we do with fiscal policy. So that's government spend. And that's going to depend on who gets into office.
That's the part that scares me right there. And by the way, I'd like to apologize to the American people for calling both of these people dopes. I really should have used the term idiots. Let's talk about Facebook. I love this story. And those of us in traditional media really love this story. Turns out that Facebook may have been misunderstanding or misrepresenting some of the metrics in terms of how people use it and how many people are using it and for what period of time they're using it. What do we make of that in terms of their market value?
So in terms of their market value, they're going to get a pass on this one for the most part. And let's backtrack here and explain a little bit more what happened. So Facebook wants to be an advertising vehicle. And so it wants to be a company that is able to say, just as in traditional media, they say, we have this many viewers, they view for this long, these are how many people we reach and how broad our touch is into society and potential customers. And Facebook realized, as has happened with other new media companies, that they weren't actually measuring the time and their reach and touch to viewers and users accurately. So they had slightly inflated.
I can't believe that. How could that possibly occur?
So they had slightly inflated the amount of time people were spending viewing online clips.
How come they never underestimate that? I think in radio it's always underestimated.
Well, and there is some speculation that they've overestimated it by as much as 60 to 80%. So it's a slight difference.
I see. You kind of know that because, I mean, people talk about what happens on their timeline on Facebook, but it isn't used the same way that radio and television are used. You know, it's like people sit down and they get in front of their radio or their television or they have it in the car, you know, on radio, and it becomes an interactive piece in their head, either eyeballs or earballs.
It's a different absorption method. And that's part of the reason that so much of this new media is still very tricky for advertisers to figure out who they're reaching, what kind of impression they're making, because they don't really know the data on how many people are being reached. You know, how much of an impression can Facebook make? How is that channel working for them?
Right.
So it's still
not at all.
Some confusion.
I'm going to tell you right now, not at all. Doesn't work for them at all. People should just get back to buying traditional radio, just regular terrestrial radio.
That's the way to go.
That is the way to go. I'm not in any way biased by that. Hey, is Twitter for sale?
Twitter might be for sale.
Uh-oh.
So another interesting, we had some good news nuggets out today about some of our big high-flying tech companies. So Twitter might be for sale. There's talk that Twitter is being considered for purchase by Salesforce.com or Alphabet, the parent company of Google. And so that's another rumor that's going around the market today. Twitter is up modestly on that noise, but it'll be interesting to see how that develops.
It really is, I think, a really fascinating platform, but they keep trying to change it, right? They want you to be able to...
Right. How can they monetize that? How can the owners of the company monetize it to actually have an income stream and make it profitable? And they're going to be facing much of the same challenges that we're talking about today in Facebook. How do you measure it? And so all of these things are part of that new media, new reach to the consumer. No one really knows how to measure it yet. When you can't measure something, it's really hard to figure out how to value it.
That's exactly what I've always said. That's my bumper sticker. Susan Schmidt, Susie Sunshine, as she's known here, all brought to you by the Keller Graduate School of Management as she's managing your money. We all learn loud, don't we? There was no answer there. All right. Violetta Powder Medic's
got... Of course we do.
Violetta Powder Medic's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots right now.